Welcome back into Defeating the Curse. My name is Joe. Happy to be here with you tonight. Steve's in the studio as well. We got guests coming on in just a minute here from Boston to talk about Game 1, Wizards and Celtics. Before we get to them, man, I gotta tell you, this game was like a gut punch and a gut punch and then another gut punch and then a cross and then another gut punch. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was so ready to have a 1-0 lead in this series, to relieve some of that pressure and that tension off this team, and I just couldn't believe my eyes. It was hard to watch. First quarter, it was almost too good to be true. And you know, if you were following us on Twitter and all of the local talking heads here in DC, everybody kind of had the same reaction. This team is unstoppable, but what's going on? This is not. This is almost too good to be true. And sure enough, you know, one thing led to another, and a 16-0 start. I think by the end of the first quarter, the gap was down to 7 or 8, and then by halftime, it was basically back and forth. And then third quarter was just a disaster. But we'll get into all that. But real quick, want to say hello to Matt and Paul from Celtics Over Easy joining us tonight to talk a little bit more in depth about this team. We're going to see a lot of the Celtics, obviously, over the next week or so. Hopefully, the Wizards get back on track here. But before we get into a Game 2 preview, we obviously got to break down Game 1, even though it's very painful. And here in D.C., we're still trying to recover from the Caps going down 0-2. The Nats lost a key player, too. So it was not a good sports weekend by any means here in D.C. And the lone bright spot was the Wizards closing out Atlanta in Atlanta. Finally, we're done with Millsap and the Dirty Birds, and, well, we go straight to Boston on a short week, or not even a short week, on a day and a half rest, which is, I mean, everybody knows how I feel about that. The NBA, I don't know how they schedule these games, but the Cavaliers get 8 days off, the Raptors get 3.5, the Celtics and the Wizards both get a day and a half. The Wizards basically go straight from Atlanta to Boston, but, you know, it is what it is. Game one is done. So, without further ado, Matt and Paul, welcome on. Love to get your take on what happened today, and please be gentle because this one's still fresh and it still hurts.
We will try to be. Joe, thanks for having us. Yeah, that first quarter, I really, me and Matt were lucky enough to be at the game today, and that first quarter, I really didn't know what was going on, and to be honest, I was getting a little nervous about coming on to this show. I didn't know if I'd be able to do it. So we might have to cancel if it continues that way. But yeah, I think I think what was going on in that first quarter was, you know, the Wizards were playing unbelievable. They were making, you know, what, 70-80% of their shots. And it looks like the Celtics, at least early on, were kind of affected by that day and a half rest that you mentioned. And it took them maybe 5 minutes to kind of get into the game. And it really wasn't until Kelly Olynyk came in towards the kind of surprised Olynyk had such an impact, but he seemed to kind of give the Celtics some offense that they didn't have early on.
Well, I wouldn't be too surprised when you have our interior defense. You know, that's why he's having such a great game. When Gortat can't defend anyone, defense just can't lock down anyone. But, you know, to me, it was such a D.C. game, okay? And for those of you, and you guys are from Boston, I don't know how closely you follow D.C. sports in general and the Wizards specifically. It was such a D.C. game, full of promise, full of life, full of energy. They come out and they look like they are going to beat the Warriors in 6, okay? They're not going to beat the Warriors in 7. They're going to beat them in 6, okay, in that first quarter. And then they just crap out. And they fade away, and everyone sees it, and everyone knows it's coming. And to be honest, you know it's coming. So what I wanted to ask is, because we live in kind of a bubble here in D.C. where we don't really – nothing really matters outside of D.C. because we're the most powerful city in the world, right? So that's what we like to tell ourselves. But what do, you know, outside teams – when they see D.C. – when they see the Wizards on the calendar come April in the playoffs, what is the vibe in Boston like? Are they excited? I mean, you see Cleveland on the calendar and in the playoffs, you're pretty petrified. You see Golden State. You see these big-time teams. Even the teams that – may not be seated as high, you still are like, mm-hmm. You know, these guys are going to show up. I feel like non-DC teams, when they see DC in the playoffs, they get excited. I think we can ask Pittsburgh in hockey how they feel about it. I think most cities get excited when they see DC on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, this season has been great. I mean, all the games that the two of us have had have been phenomenal. We've had that whole rivalry with the, you know, funeral nonsense and all that. But I was hoping we would get matched up with these guys in the playoffs, actually. To keep up that quote-unquote feud or rivalry. So, I mean, I think I have a great deal of respect for the Wizards. I think that you guys are a great team. My prediction going into the series was this is going to be a seven game series. I think it'll be tight. I don't know what you guys were predicting.
Yeah, so at least, you know, we definitely don't come into the series, especially how things went in the first few games against the Bulls. You know, we try not to set our expectations too high with the Celtics, because as well as they shot the ball today, which was unbelievable, they could easily do the complete opposite in the next game.
Yeah, you guys talked a lot about the energy of your team. Celtics have their own energy issues. You know, that first quarter is something that I wouldn't say it's typical, but when the Celtics are playing really well, they play with a lot of energy and they're very aggressive and upbeat. But you know, when they're playing bad, it's very noticeable, and they just go flat. And sometimes they don't, like, if they don't have the energy, they're not going to win the game.
You know, it's the energy. You know, I was shocked at how they came out of the gate, the Wizards. I couldn't believe it. Everything was hitting, and it was nice to see Markieff Morris kind of revert back to his regular season self. Paul Millsap gave him Paul Millsap was a handful in the last series. I mean, there was no rhythm on offense, and you know, with Mahimi out, we were all kind of locked in and saying, well, Morris is going to have to be he's going to be pivotal. I mean, the team goes ironically as he does and Gortat up front, and you know, they matched up on paper at least pretty well with the Hawks, and we weren't necessarily worried about Dwight Howard or Millsap, but that series took a turn with the refs and everything else, and you know what, that one's over. But on paper, I'll tell you, as a Wizards fan, I was excited to see the Celtics. The team I didn't want to see, you know, I think we match up pretty well with Cleveland. I think we match up actually pretty well with the Celtics as well. And early on, I was like, wow, they got no answer. The C's got no answer for Gortat. They got no answer for Morris. And if they keep doing this drive and dink and dunk type of stuff, I mean, Wall was living in the paint. The Wizards were just dominating the paint offensively and defensively. And it helps, of course, that the Celtics were missing pretty much everything through the first quarter, the first four or five right. minutes of the quarter. But I was shocked. I mean, Oubre was locked in, and Otto Porter was locked in, and Beal was locked in, and the team looked ready to go, as if a day and a half off, just, it was a non-factor. I mean, Wall was, you know, his mood switched, and he was playing that kind of angry ball that we love to see here in D.C., because he's locked in, and he kind of elevates the team with him, and then just slowly, it just dissipated, and you know, Isaiah Thomas loses his tooth or his cap or whatever. I don't know what happened on the play. I didn't even see it in real time until the camera, the cutaways later on. But then he's playing without a tooth, and you know, 3 3-pointers drop in a row. And for me, I don't watch a lot of Celtics basketball. Amir Johnson is a name I haven't heard his name in probably like two seasons. He comes in off the bench. I'm like, wow, it's kind of early to be throwing in the towel. And sure enough, he does exactly what you know Coach Stevens wants him to do, which is just kind of hog the paint a little bit and stop that momentum, you know, to the basket. And then again, the energy, just the momentum, everything just seemed to switch back. And you know, for us watching Morris go down, like, Al Horford is a player I respect tremendously. I've been watching him since he came into the league. He's not a dirty player. He's not Millsap by any stretch of the imagination, but it was hard for me to see him kind of step under Morris when he was taking that shot, because that's like basketball, like 101. Like, you just don't do that. And it looks like Morris will be back for game two. But, you know, I just like to get your, you know, a kind of a Celtics fan's perspective. When you see the Wizards come into town, you know, it's nice to hear that you have a, you know, respect for the team. But I would imagine that the guard matchup, I would assume you see that as something that's a push. Or maybe even in your favor. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I think that we definitely have the guards to stay with Wall and Beal. You know, we have Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, even Rozier, Terry Rozier, who plays maybe 10, 15 minutes a game. He can come off the bench and kind of be a nuisance on defense. So I definitely think we have the guards, at least defensively, to kind of hang with, you know, Wall and Beal. I think, you know, against the Bulls, the Celtics really got killed by Robin Lopez. It was really unbelievable. He was getting his way on the offensive glass, and it's a clear weakness on the team. But I do think in that series, which is maybe why, you know, Gortat didn't have as much success today, at least in the second half, that you know, you would think he would have, is because I think the Celtics have kind of figured out a lineup to kind of help negate the bigs on the other on opposing teams.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about Amir, and it's funny they say that because, you know, all season long, Amir was in our starting lineup. And as PJ just touched on, Lopez was killing us in the Bulls series, so we made that switch. We benched Amir, and we didn't see him after game two for the rest of the series, and we put Gerald Green in the starting lineup instead. So this is the first time Amir's even played since game two against the Bulls. And I think it'll be interesting to see moving forward if Brad sticks with that, with the Gerald Green small lineup, or we get to see Amir back in the starting lineup again to counteract what you guys have going.
You know, I couldn't.
Now, how?
I actually, sorry, just I want to piggyback on that just for a second. It's amazing to me that, you know, Amir Johnson can go from starting, you know, essentially being a regular, he's at least a regular in the rotation. He just didn't play for four games in the Bulls series. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, again, I don't watch a ton of Celtics basketball. I obviously don't follow the team super close, but I was just shocked to see him come in off the bench. And I was like, this doesn't make sense to me, but he did what he was supposed to do. The guy that seemed to be unguardable, maybe not unguardable, the Wizards didn't have an answer in my mind to Marcus Smart. He really surprised me today. You know, there was a couple of maybe 50-50 balls and some bad calls that went against him. And, you know, I expected him maybe to get rattled or, you know, maybe the hinges were going to come off or something. And it was the opposite. He really, really surprised me today.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Marcus Smart. He is probably the most polarizing player that the Celtics have on the roster. One game, people love him because he's doing all the dirty stuff, getting blocks, steals, loose balls. And then the next game, he's 0-for-7 from the three-point line, and you just want to shake him and tell him to stop shooting. But Marcus Smart's huge for the Celtics. I mean, he comes off the bench as a sixth man, but Brad Stevens always says that he's really their sixth starter, and he plays starter minutes. You know, it was interesting. You never know with Marcus Smart. He's a loose cannon sometimes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the biggest variable with his game is going to be his offensive contribution. You know, he always brings it defensively, and, you know, on those 50-50 plays you mentioned, that's his bread and butter right there. That's how he earns his minutes. But, you know, if he can contribute offensively, it really takes him as a player to a whole new level, and same with his team, I think. You know, when we can get contribution out of him and Olynyk off the bench, then, you know, we play so much more effectively and efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus is going to be the guy that the Wizards or other teams, you know, leave open on the three-point line. And it really helps us if he can make those shots.
Yeah, I think the Celtics hit 19 three-pointers or 20 three-pointers. Did they set a new franchise record today for three-pointers?
Like, it was like 55%. I think we can't count on that with the scores, but it was nice.
Yeah, I think Horford got one too. Everybody was hitting threes today.
But I wanted to follow up on something you said, because you said the Celtics, they kind of figured out a lineup that works against the Wizards. They kind of put it together in that second quarter. Tell me more about Brad Stevens, okay? Because obviously I'm a college basketball guy as well. Loved him at Butler and you know, seen him with Boston. And what adjustments did he specifically make after that first quarter that kind of caught your eye, that put a stop in the run that halted what the Wizards were doing, kind of settled the team down. And is that kind of his MO with the whole adjustments? I mean, we saw what happened in the first two games against Chicago last series, and you guys go down 2-0 at home. And mm-hmm. So is he an adjustments guy? Is he like a Belichick who goes in at halftime and can rewrite a game plan, can rewrite an entire game plan there? And what specifically did you see in this game that he did?
Yeah, so Brad Stevens is definitely an adjustments guy. As Matt just mentioned, you know, in that bowl series, he inserted Gerald Green into the starting lineup, who is our, 13th man.
Gerald Green picked up, 30 DNPs during the season, and all of a sudden he just threw him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, so he definitely plays matchups, will make adjustments when he needs to. What I saw today was, you know, early on when things weren't going well for the Celtics, Brad made changes right away. You guys mentioned he put in Amir Johnson. He took out Al Horford, I think, 5 or 6 minutes into the game, inserted Kelly Olynyk, who I think was a key into kind of giving the Celtics some life there.
Yeah, he was unguardable. I have no, what happened there? He got the ball on the block. He would just muscle his way into the paint. He got the ball on the elbow. He faked a drive and hit a jump shot. Who is this guy? What's going on?
What you're referring to is what we call on the podcast aggressive Kelly. Sometimes we get aggressive Kelly Olynyk, and sometimes we get, lackadaisical, awkward looking Kelly Olynyk. And game one today was aggressive Kelly. You know, he's knocking down his threes. He's getting in the paint. He's present offensively. I'm sure we'll see at some point in this series not so great on Kelly Olynyk, and you'll think to yourself, is it the same player we saw in game one?
Because there's I feel like I dated an awkward Kelly in high school.
Yeah,
I was looking for aggressive Kelly.
we talk about how smart is, very polarizing. Olynyk is the same way. Those two players, there's fans who hate Kelly Olynyk, and then,
a lot of people hate
Kelly Olynyk because of those threes we saw today. And when those aren't going in, and he's not getting any rebounds, because he's not really a rebound guy. He's not going to muscle you around the paint. I would call him more of a finesse player, really. But, when his shot isn't falling, it can look bad. But, we got aggressive Kelly today, and I was very happy with it.
You know, it's interesting that you say he doesn't – I saw him crash the boards today. Onto the court, at the time he checked in, the Polish hammer was basically playing volleyball out there. I mean, that's like a Gortat staple.
Yeah.
He won't actually, I think he gets credit for those rebounds, but he doesn't actually ever rebound the ball. He just tips it back out to Wall or Beal, who are kind of playing their own version of a contained defense, on missed or long rebounds. But he came in and he put a body on Gortat, and suddenly those tips weren't so readily available. I mean, again, based on what I know of Al Horford in particular, he's not going to get in the paint and bang around with people. He's very good at what he does, but I just don't see him putting a body on Gortat and forcing him out of the paint. Kelly Olynyk was somewhat able to do it. I mean, I think he's a little undersized for a center, but so is Gortat, and he just seemed to change the momentum for the Wizards. Were getting every rebound at that point. And he comes in, and like I said, it was 3 or 4 possessions in a row where he got the ball on the block, he altered someone's shot, and then went back the other way and hit a jumper, and then went back the other way, and I think blocked another shot, or he just brought some energy, and then all of a sudden, like I said, we all watched the game, the lead just dissipated, and you just knew, and Steve alluded to this, DC fans, Wizards fans, it doesn't matter which DC sport, you just know when the team starts off this hot, it's completely, it's not a question of if they can sustain it, it's how quickly will it dissipate. And, it took a quarter and a half, but they just never regained their mojo after the first, by the start of the third quarter, it was clear that the Celtics were going to win this game. They had tied it at that point. I feel like they didn't take the lead until later in the third, but they were just playing, inspired basketball, and it's just amazing how from your side, I imagine everyone's saying, you know, Thomas kind of willed the team to win and this and that. On our side, we're saying, what was Wall like? John Wall didn't take a free throw until the fourth quarter. It seemed like he couldn't get a call, although the Wizards got quite a few helpful calls from the refs. You know, on our side, we look at like Bradley Beal, first two games against Atlanta in the playoffs, or actually the first four games, he was just horrendous from the field, even though he hit 33 of those four games. The last two games, the closeout game against Atlanta, games 5 and 6 against Atlanta, he shot really well. And today his hot shooting somewhat continued. In the fourth quarter, you know, he seemed to try to will the Wizards back into it. I think he hit 3 threes in a row on 3 consecutive possessions, but the team just wasn't the same. And if Markieff Morris isn't 100% healthy or 80% healthy, the Wizards are going to struggle to get to get wins in this series, because the front court is the strength in my opinion. I think the guards are somewhat of a push. I think all the guards in this series on both teams are going to get their points, and because they're to some extent not guardable. But it's the bigs that are going to define the series. And I like Markieff Morris and Gortat, but I don't like Gortat by himself. I wonder, when you guys look at our team, aside from John Wall, is there a guy that you say, or maybe even Beal, is there a guy that you see as kind of the catalyst or the one that has to be stopped for the Celtics to win?
Yeah, I think, I agree somewhat with what you said about the guards. There's definitely a lot of talent there with both teams. I think from the Wizards side, I think the Markieff Morris injury, if he's out, or he's not 100%, I think that's huge for the Wizards, because I don't know what you guys think, but from our perspective, you know, we don't think the Wizards have a very deep bench.
No, not at all. With Mahimi out, I mean, we saw it today. Like Bojo, we affectionately call him Bo Buckets. He came in and he struggled defensively. He got pulled. He came back in. He hit a bunch of threes. He had a 4-point play. Like he can handle. He can apply pressure on the offensive side of the court, but he's a defensive liability. And without Mahimi, right, and Jason Smith, I mean, Jason Smith is a nice piece, but he's not going to get, you can't ask him to play, 20 minutes a game. You just can't, get that out of him.
Right. I think another guy on the Wizards who's a big X factor in the series would be Otto Porter. He's absolutely killed the Celtics in some games in the last few years during the regular season. And, I think in order for, I think he's important in order for the Wizards to win this series. What do you guys think?
Well, Otto led the league, I think, in 3-point percentages, hit or something. Like he can shoot, but he gets psyched out a lot. I mean, it's really easy to get him rattled. And personally, my favorite player on the team outside of Wall is Kelly Oubre. Mr. Short Shorts brings it every night. You know, sometimes defensively he's not there, but tonight, I mean, he did everything they asked him to. Spot up and hit threes, he did it. Rebound the ball, he did it. Slash to the paint and get at layups and dunks, he did that too. So he's a very versatile player. I don't like it. I personally don't like it when I see Oubre and Porter on the court at the same time. That seems to be problematic. And I definitely don't like it when I see Wall and Jennings on the court at the same time. Coach Brooks has done a fantastic job with the team, but some of the lineups today were just not, they're not going to work. I mean, the Celtics are just, they're just too good.
If you watch consistently Wizards games, Otto Porter, stat sheet Otto Porter, box score Otto Porter is a lot better than Otto Porter watching on TV guy or in the stands guy, because Otto Porter will, he will lead the league in 3-point, field goal percentage, but he will find the most important three of the game and he will make sure to miss it. Okay. And he will identify what is the most important 3-point shot that we need in a given game, and he will make sure that he misses it. Sometimes those stats can be deceiving, but let's move this forward a little bit. What are you guys looking at?
I was just going to say one quickly. It sounds like you're describing the opposite of Marcus Smart to me. He's like, if you just look at Marcus Smart's box score all day, you think he's like the least relevant player in the league. You know, he's never got a good box score, but it's like the
flipped. You know, Smart is, he always takes that. He always makes that final like steal that like is like the highlight of the game. You know, but then you look at his box score and you go, oh Jesus, did he really shoot like 1 of 8?
Yeah, like a 3 for 17. Yeah, that might be we might need to get you guys on another time. That's a good discussion of what would you rather have, because that clutch gene is probably more important than the percentage gene. But let's move this forward and look at, you know, what are you guys looking at for the rest of the series? I think we got game two. Are we on an every other day schedule now?
Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday, 8 o'clock.
We are on next on Tuesday.
We got Tuesday. Okay. Are you guys, after one game, you know, do you think Boston, based on what you guys have seen from the team, is it one of those teams that kind of takes it easy once they get ahead, kind of like us, and it's going to be a back and forth series? Or you think everyone's going to hold court at home, and this will be a long drawn out thing? Or do you think Boston has a pretty clear advantage?
No, yeah, I'm still under the impression this is going to go deep to 6 or 7. I think the way that it looks like to me is it's going to be kind of that hold court, home team wins thing. Really, to me, you know, I mean, today I don't think is a very good sample to go off of. Like I said, like the Celtics shot lights out, and that's going to, water's going to find its level a little bit there. That'll come back to earth. If we don't hit 19 threes, you know, and shoot 55%, this is a very close game. And then I think really the key to the series is going to be, you know, Boston's supporting cast, and if they can outscore Washington's supporting cast. Because, I definitely agree with what you were saying about how the guards kind of, you know, cancel each other out, in my opinion, and what you said as well. But, you know, if Smart can have an impact, if Kelly can come in and be aggressive Kelly and have an impact, if Crowder's knocking down shots, you know, that's going to really be the swing to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Celtics are playing really good basketball right now. A lot of guys are starting to peak at just the right time. Al Horford's playing his best basketball that he's played all season long. But with that said, you know, I'm under no impression that this series is going to be a shorter series than I originally thought. I agree with Matt. I think it's going to go deep, 6-7 games. And I still think it could go either way. Definitely feeling good after today's win. Like I said, the Celtics are playing great right now, but by no means am I penciling in the Celtics in the conference finals.
Well, I don't know, guys. I had the Wizards in 4, so I guess I'm in the Wizards in 5 now. You know, I still look. I mean, I agree that the guards are kind of a push matchup. I think Wall and Beal are still the better tandem. Beal shot lights out today. Wall started off very aggressive and cooled off. So I'm going to say slight advantage to the Wizards. If Markieff doesn't come back, or if he's not himself, I think Van Gundy on the broadcast was talking about, you know, if his twin has, I think, identical tattoos. So if they can't figure out a way to get somebody in that jersey on the court, it's going to be very hard for the Wizards to pull this out, because it's Gortat cannot handle the front court by himself. You can't ask him to play every minute, and Mahimi's done. So that's going to be a really tough situation. But, I mean, I think the winner of this series is going to win the East. That's my personal opinion. That's just my opinion. I think the Cavs have had their hands full with both of these teams all season long, and the Raptors really shouldn't. They don't, and they shouldn't scare anybody. So, you know, I think the winner of this series is going to be poised to make it to the finals. I think it'll be the Wizards, but you know, I think I'm going to have to hedge my bet here, just because I don't know what the... It sounds like Markieff is going to play on Tuesday. At least that's what Twitter says right now. But who knows? And who knows if he's, you know, if that's just gamesmanship and, you know, they're trying to, you know, keep everyone, you know, planning for him, but he won't be there. I'm not sure. But what I know won't happen is Wall won't not shoot a free throw until the fourth quarter again. I think he's going to come out a lot more aggressive. What, you know, the Hawks series was very different. The Hawks seemed to get every single call in that series. There was no offensive rhythm. Today was completely the opposite. The Wizards found that rhythm early on. They just couldn't maintain it. So I think, you know, they're good teams. You know, I at one point I tweeted out that maybe Boston was the worst number one seed, like in the Eastern Conference, or to win the East in a long time. But they proved me wrong. I mean, this is a deep team, a balanced team, a well coached team, and you know, I think it's gonna go. I think it'll go the distance. And if it does, I don't know. It'd be hard to say the Wizards can go into Boston and win, but. Yeah, I mean, Wall. We've seen Wall take over games on his own. We've seen Beal do it too. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But it sounds like both of you guys got the Celtics winning it in either six or seven. And I got, like I said, I got Wizards in five at this point. Steve, where are you at?
I'm gonna. You know where I'm at, Joe's. I'm gonna remind you of what you said about the guards being a push. You taking Wall and Beal when it's a closer game than what was today. And Isaiah Thomas is the best player on the court in closing out the fourth quarter and those ISO possessions. And Avery Bradley is the best player on the court in stopping those ISO possessions on defense. To me, that's all the playoffs come down to, is those fourth quarter possessions. Who can create their own shot? Who can score? And John Wall has disappointed me in the past. And he stepped up against the Hawks, but I still think Isaiah Thomas going to close out games better than anyone on the court, and Avery Bradley's going to shut down Beal and Wall on the other end. So I take Celtics in six.
Well, let me. Wow. But, I don't know. Come on.
I'm not a homer. I like being right over being a homer.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about that. But look, John Wall's jump shot came with him. It made the trip from Atlanta to Boston. So if he shoots the way he is and he can distribute the way he's been. I mean, he still had, I think, 17 assists today or 16 assists today. So the offense still functioned, and they still went 111 points or 112 points. So, yeah, to me, it's Morris. Everything's going to come down to Morris. But frankly, I don't think Horford, Thomas, and Crowder are going to shoot over 50% or over 65% again. It doesn't seem sustainable. I mean, the three-pointers were falling in from everywhere. It was a fluky game. I mean, maybe that's just a Wizards fan in me, but I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Yeah. I mean, not since the Kings collapse against the Lakers, when it was like that 20-point first quarter deficit. That's what today's game kind of reminded me of. You know, except
Vlade Divac.
Yeah, the Vlade, the tip to it wasn't Ori. Vlade. It was Shaq tip to Ori for three.
Yeah. I just like talking about Vlade.
Yeah,
I want to quickly say this about Isaiah. A big knock on him, at least around here, has been, you know, can Isaiah close out games in the fourth quarter? Because the last few years, what teams would do is they would just double team him, and he wouldn't be able to score. But he's had such an unbelievable season, and he's even surprised me more this postseason. He's shown that he can now get his own shot. When we need buckets, he can make the right play. And, you know, I think he's finally kind of started to show some of these haters wrong, at least around up here. You know, it's been a big criticism of him.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I'll get you guys out on this question. Do they take away your Boston fan card for podcasting during a Red Sox game?
No. Early for that. We
stick
strictly to the Celtics.
Okay. I'm the Nats guy on our podcast. I was going to ask what you thought of the start of the Red Sox season, but I guess you guys
That's
are
Matt
our
here.
Celtics
Matt,
guys.
Matt's yeah. the Red Sox guy. I follow the Sox, but we stick strictly to the Celtics on
that one. Gotcha. Well, once the Celtics finish, we'll have you guys back on for a Red Sox thing.
I got one last question. Yep. One last question from me on this one. Who do you like in the other Eastern Conference series?
I like Cleveland. A lot of people think Toronto, with some of the acquisitions they made at the deadline with Ibaka and Tucker, you know, might be ready to make the leap. But I just think Cleveland has too much shooting. LeBron's too much of LeBron, and I expect Cleveland to win that series in maybe six games or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe even five. I don't know. The Toronto in the playoffs, they've really yet to prove to me that they can that they can do it in the playoffs. I mean, they had plenty of trouble with Milwaukee, and you know, the Cavs are the Cavs. I think they'll be in the East Conference Finals pretty easily.
All right, fair
and
enough.
The final.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and the final.
Oh, and the final. Wait, you if the Celtics get through this, you don't see them beating Cleveland?
No. I mean, you know,
Joe, they're not homers.
Oh, we are. Yeah. But you know, I think we try to temper our expectations as much as we can. There's been times where we get too hyped about the Celtics. You know, I think they have a chance of winning a few games, but I'd be surprised if they were to advance past Cleveland if they played.
Well, now I got to ask, yeah. Who's your finals prediction then? I just got to know now.
Oh, Warriors.
Oh,
Warriors, Cavs.
Every person we've had on the show, every person says the same thing. That's crazy.
I don't even think it's close though. I think it's Warriors and it's not even close.
Well, I'll tell you just.
I'll say this. I like Houston as a dark horse.
We
there we go.
We got some big money on Houston.
We put 50 on red.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're gonna bet on somebody else, you know, they probably have pretty good odds. I'm guessing.
Well,
I think they got a chance.
The Rockets had the Rockets and the Wizards both had great odds, so we got money on both. I'll tell you my finals prediction before the playoffs started. I had the Wizards beating the Spurs in the finals.
Wow, interesting. I don't know why. Kawhi, though, he's definitely a robot.
Yeah, I just don't know if the Spurs have that next level. I don't know if they have, like, it's Kawhi and then who is it, you know? To me, they kind of mirror the Celtics a little bit in that I think they've got a really good formula down to win regular season games. But then once you get to the playoffs, it gets a little bit trickier when you have to, you know, play a little more elevated.
Absolutely. And once you're in a series format, you know, I think the reason you see the lower seed teams pick up these wins, and I think it the reason you see Chicago beat the Boston the first two games, the reason you see Milwaukee steal a couple games from the Raptors, you know, it's in a series environment. The underdog is going to come out and just with a little bit more fire, but the better team is ultimately going to win because adjustments get made and the better team wins. So, you know, I think that's why I love playoff basketball. I mean, it's as much about the coaching as it is about the players. I think Coach Brooks is awesome and everything I know. I mean, it looks like
he's done a great job this year,
and it looks like the Celtics got a really good one too. I mean, this is a cast of characters that, I mean, did anyone have them, you know, I don't think anyone had them winning the East. Did anyone have them, you know, finishing in the top four in the East before the season started? I don't think so. Am I wrong on that?
Oh, we did.
Okay. Okay.
I think we had them up there, but no, we didn't think they'd win. They'd be the one.
We didn't think one seed. I think our prediction preseason was probably like, we expected to be like 3-4 seed, I would say. Maybe 3 seed.
Wow, that's... I mean, we had the Wizards in at 6, and then they were, at one point they were in second, pushing for first, fell to fourth. But that's all in the past now. So, well, fellas, thank you so much for coming on. This was great. Lot of good content. Lots of information for Wizards fans to learn up and get ready for the rest of this series. Thank you so much for coming on. Love to have you back as the series progresses in the next week or so.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for having us. Before we sign off, if you do have any Celtics fans that are listening, I just wanted to let them know we're the Celtics Over Easy Podcast, and if they want to follow us on Twitter, our handle's @CelticsOverEasy. We'll be tweeting during the whole playoff run.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming on. For Joe, for Steve, this is DTC. We are out.